Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien, and we have a special guest from the Geekiverse, Adam Herr. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome, Adam.
Hi.
Welcome to our podcast where we get drunk.
Welcome to madness.
That's right. Talking about madness, we've got some mad news that we didn't get to last week, but now we can finally get into it.
Yeah, because that cut I talked about never happened. That's why I left it in the episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So the Star Trek Discovery trailer dropped a mere 3 hours after we podcasted last week. So we're, you know, a good week
thanks
and a half behind
by CBS. Now. Thanks a lot, CBS.
Yeah, thanks, CBS, for not inviting us.
Yeah,
jerks.
We're still upset about that.
Yeah, my butt's sore.
Did they do something to you?
I'm not.
Show me on the Darth Vader doll where they touched you.
Here.
So, yeah, so we got the trailer for Discovery. Lot of stuff going on.
So much stuff going on. It looks really good. It sort of looks generic-y sci-fi.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, other than Klingons, and obviously we're in like the Star Trek universe, we're not getting anything big revelation other than there seems to be some kind of war that was started, and they're engaging with the Klingons.
Yeah, and I like this is at the very end of the trailer where you finally get to hear Captain Isaacs talk, and he's like, "Oh, you started a war. You want to help me finish it?" Yeah. And I'm like, "How come she wasn't court-martialed and/or put in prison and/or executed for starting a massive war with the Klingons?"
Man, all right,
we'll get into that later.
First we gotta win the war.
Sarek skyped in.
Sarek skyped in.
I mean, to be fair. Kirk didn't get in the newest movie. Kirk didn't get in trouble for almost starting a war with the Klingons.
No, but he did kind of prod them.
Admiral Marcus was trying to make him get in a war with the Klingons. It wasn't like Kirk was trying to do anything. That was true. You know, shit rolls downhill, and the brass is the one who said you should go do that.
You're not wrong, but I'm saying he didn't get in trouble for anything of that. Well. I guess we don't.
What do you mean? The Admiral tried to murder him and his entire crew.
But that's not him
that's
getting.
That's kind of being in trouble.
That's not him getting
that's
in trouble
superior,
from Starfleet.
That's just being a vindictive asshole.
But it's
that's not getting in trouble from Starfleet. That's one guy saying, "I'm going to create the new Starfleet," and
technically,
you're screwed.
Yeah, all that stuff was on the DL.
Yeah, like so. As far as everybody knows, that didn't really happen.
Although, since they were so close to Earth, how come Europa Planitia wasn't like? Why are there two ships in Earth orbit, like, shooting each other?
Wait a second.
Why are there other ships in Earth orbit checking
this out? Aren't there any other ships that are, like, just, like, basically the Coast Guard of the Earth solar system, just monitoring?
Yeah, like you know, a Miranda class just, you know, hanging out or something, or a shuttle,
listen,
something.
Official records probably state that the Enterprise just flew a little too close to a supernova. That's all the damage
so
was.
So all that information was expunged somehow.
Yeah, don't worry about that stuff.
Yeah, so, but Discovery, getting back to that, I mean, it looks fantastic. It looks beautiful. I'm still unclear kind of what the storyline is about, other than...
It's about Discovery?
Well, the thing is, like,
and
you...
war?
I mean, there seems like a beginning of a war, or something's happening to start a war, and...
So apparently there's a Klingon, and he gets bullied by his friends, or maybe they're not his friends since they bullied him.
Was that little... Klingon Worf?
Well, maybe it is. Like, maybe it's Worf's grandfather, Worf.
Can we not do another Worf link back? I love Worf, but it's like every time he's like, oh, this is takes place on Kittimer. And let's have Michael Dorn back.
They were trying to have Michael Dorn back, we talked about that, where they're going to pay him like a penny to show up on the show.
Here's one penny.
It's like...
That will be your payment. That's not enough.
No.
What were anything that stood out for you, Dave, watching that Discovery?
Like, I just want to know how she ends up in a corridor with, like, where three-fourths of it is force field. Like, where she's, like, got nowhere to go.
I thought
like
she was just boxed in. I think she, if she started a war, she's probably in the brig.
I don't think that's the brig.
I totally thought it was a brig.
I don't think that's the brig. She's, like, that's, like, open space.
Well, I don't
know. It looks like she's a...
And she does, next to she does jump out of it to go to the other side.
Yeah, we do. So like, I'm like, is this, like, after a battle? And like, is this, like, after you see all those escape pods shoot off?
This is the problem with every single, whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars or anything.
The trailers. You just can feed so much.
Okay, so we saw one ship at the very beginning. It's an opening shot of a ship essentially getting destroyed.
Right.
Which then, is not the Shinzu.
Yeah, and then it goes to... then there's two ships colliding. There's that in
which is the same ship that you saw in the first scene.
Yeah.
I can't remember its name. It's one of the Europa. It's the USS Europa.
And then there's escape pods, which I'm assuming...
That's the Shinzu. You see the escape pods fly
the
Shinzu.
Like, this is the problem. Like, you just have a bunch of ships. You don't really know. Like, people like us are going to know that kind of stuff because we're going to research it and everything else. The average person is going to be like, they're going to see that trailer.
A bunch of crazy shit.
Everything's going to be like, all right, so...
Explosions.
A ship has blown up four times now? Like, I think now that you're saying that, I think you're right. She got trapped in a corridor and it's up against a wall. Here's my prediction.
The ship gets ripped apart.
The ship got ripped apart. She went back up against the wall. Force fields happened. Everybody jettisoned in the escape pod.
And then she's got to get to an EV suit or a shuttle or something.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Because we do see her going to a shuttle.
And then at the very end, we see her floating away in an EV suit with a cracked helmet.
So really, but it's a survival story.
That's going to be after the last thing you saw in the first trailer, because you see at the very end of the first trailer, she's standing on something in space in her suit, and you see the torchbearer armor guy attack her. So, I mean, that's going to be, like, if you're stitching that together.
Just saying. So,
But I think the reason it's going super generic sci-fi is so they don't ostracize non-Trekkies. Since this is behind a paywall, they've got to attract as many people as they possibly can to, like, oh, this might be cool.
I know. It's just such a dumb thing. I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be great, but I think they're going to have to retool it. Unless this is so wildly... If this is more successful than Game of Thrones or something like that, like if it hits that like fever pitch level of excitement, that's the only way this is going to... like people are going to buy into the all-access thing. I don't care how good... There is just so many freaking good shows out there right now that people can get into. And I'm really afraid, and we've talked about this many occasions, that the all-access... is going to turn people off. And they're going to be
like me.
Yeah, Adam was saying just before. He's just like, he would watch it, but he doesn't want to go and spend an extra $8 or whatever it is.
Is I'm going to wait like a month. Then I'm going to go over and go to Putlocker or Watch Series and hope that they have it, which they probably will have it, honestly, within the first 2 weeks. They'll have a bunch of stuff. But I'm not about, like, all right, I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime. I'm about to do... I'm really considering doing HBO.
Right.
I don't need another thing that I have to pay to go and view stuff.
It is like,
just stop.
I'm fine with it. I mean, like, the show's quality from the previews, like, this looks like a movie. This looks unlike any TV, even Game of Thrones.
I know.
This looks way beyond any TV show there's ever been.
I agree.
So, I mean, like, the paywall's making sense beyond that. Before, I was always speculating that the paywall, so they can do, like, gore and blood and nudity, so they could just get away with it since they can't do that on primetime television. Now that we've seen trailers, I'm thinking maybe that's not as much the case as it is they need this extra income to put out a movie-ish quality show.
If it's the same level, or... All right, I went to school for this stuff. When I say the same level, comparison. Like, you're never going to get a TV series at the exact same level as you're going to get a feature film. It's physically impossible with the amount of money and stuff that you need to put into it. But if it's close...
And this is the closest I've ever seen. Like, even Game of Thrones, as good as Game of Thrones looks, still like, TV.
If it's going to be close to the new Star Trek movies that are coming out, I love them. I love, like... non-content wise, we'll go with, but I love the actual just
visuals
of it. It's beautiful. They've captured space in a way that, like, we're going to talk Voyager here in a bit. Voyager does a fantastic job in their intro of showing space,
right,
in a colorful, awesome way, and that's what the new movies are doing. Like, they're making space look super cool.
Yeah, and compelling and interesting.
Yeah, and if that's what this is going to be, then I'm on board. I will give it an episode where I watch it for free somehow. And
the first episode's going to be live on CBS. I've been talking to your dad that we should do a viewing party.
Okay.
And then record a podcast immediately after.
Okay.
So that's my plan that I'd love to do. Do a viewing party because it'll be on CBS at, I think, 7:30 Eastern Sunday the 24th.
I like to call him Master, so... Whatever Master says.
He's Master.
Exactly. Whatever. I'm like Dobby the house elf. Right?
Oh,
I just haven't gotten a sock yet.
You haven't gotten your sock yet?
I'm 24, I haven't gotten my sock
just
yet.
Speaking of Dobby, did you see the new Planet of the Apes movie?
I have not.
There's a character called Bad Ape in that. I feel like he's the Dobby of the Planet of the Apes.
Everybody needs a Dobby.
I'm the Dobby of this podcast.
I give you booze instead of socks. Is that okay?
Nah, I don't know if that works. He keeps coming back, so I don't think you're actually sending him free.
Give me your used socks. I probably won't come back. But it's an interesting trailer. I enjoy it. It is confusing as hell. You just don't know what exactly is going on. But it's intriguing, and it's very engaging.
But... that's how every trailer is now.
Right, but...
look at any Star Wars trailer. You don't have an idea of what's
going
to happen.
Yeah, but just going along with Adam, there are trailers you see, and you're like, you know, you could go like, whatever, you know. At least this looks like, wow, that's cool.
I think that the purpose of a trailer has now evolved into just making it so you're like, graphics, and... little tiny bit of story, but by the way, that story's going to change, or we're just not going to include it in the movie.
Oh, wait. Graphics, boong, little bit of story.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean,
do you, yeah. Let's, I know we're doing a Star Trek thing, but does anybody in their right mind believe that Luke Skywalker ever says the Jedi need to end in that exact sentence in the movie with that exact picture frame? Not a chance.
I don't know.
I bet he says the word Jedi, and I bet he says the word end, and I bet somebody else went over and said, let's just do...
Look at my Jedi bookends.
Exactly. And then they just took out book, and they're like, there we go. Ends. Jedi ends. And like all of a sudden, everybody's going to lose their minds over it.
I don't think it's out of context, because I think the Rebels series has been doing a lot to establish the Grey Jedi with Ahsoka, and so I think Luke might be like, maybe...
Yeah, but then you have people.
Maybe grays are the way to go.
Then you have people in like upper
lots of
management
probes, and you know,
you have people up in upper management being like, "Yeah, gray Jedi. I don't really get what those are. So yeah, they don't actually exist." That's been said from upper management.
I don't know. It's Ahsoka's canon. Ahsoka's in the Rebel show.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, but let's get off Star Wars for a second.
Why? It's the best Star series.
No, it's not.
Don't start.
Not even close.
Not here. Not here.
We will end this podcast. We will turn it around and take you home.
Thanks. I just drank a beer. I'm going to need it.
Yes.
Dude, I'm 4 shots in. I don't know if you want me driving.
The other news is we got was that Brian Fuller, the kind of the backstory of the ending relationship between Brian Fuller and Discovery and CBS and what happened there. Pretty interesting that we got the idea that Brian Fuller had a different idea for Discovery, where they were kind of going to be leaping to different eras in Star Trek universe. So they would have seen the original series. They would have been to...
Next Gen, and then after Next Gen.
Yeah, like all that, everything. And then, yeah, well beyond. And unfortunately, this got completely shut down. I think they were worried about cost.
Well, I can understand why they can be worried about it from cost, because if they're making the episodes look like this, I cannot see them redoing, you know, massive sets. Because, I mean, the stills of the Klingon sets we saw from behind the scenes look incredible. I can't see them painstakingly go back and doing all these new sets every single season for a sci-fi series. Right. So I can see them saying no to a compendium series, but it would be cool, and that's what Brian Fuller was kind of like hinting at in his like tweets and stuff like that. Because I know I said like a year ago when Discovery stuff was first trickling out that they were talking about an anthology series and that they were going to give the show a visual reboot so that as they move through the series, you could see the technology evolve from what they reinvent with Discovery and then reinvent with Next Gen Era and right. reinvent, you know, and then they have a whole new visual language to go from after that.
Right. And I wasn't quite sure if there was going to be a ship that was going to be going from those different eras and visiting it, or if this was just going to be, we're going to show like a couple episodes of, you know, the original series. Now we're going to go to Next Gen, or now we're going to,
or just,
you know,
a season of each.
Well, yeah. Sort of like American Horror Story.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's actually
hoping.
Just going to be Q. They're going to bring Q back in. We're just going to snap our fingers and go back.
Any more John DeLancey, I will do it.
And then, so there's that. You know, the idea of him jumping back and forth in that story, and that they thought that would be too expensive. But also, I think there was sour grapes because he was heavily involved with American Gods, and they felt like his attentions were elsewhere. And maybe that's a good point. I don't know. Like, I wasn't, you know, obviously we were in that production.
No.
Those production rooms and those meetings, so we don't really know. But Brian Fuller has a wonderful vision. American Gods is beyond belief good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when we saw the first episode. I it was so good. I'm so disappointed now that he's not fully involved with Discovery.
Not in there, right.
Because after seeing that first episode of American Gods, I had no idea what was happening, but I know I wanted more. Yeah. And Discovery needs that.
Right.
They need that in the first episode to hook people.
Right.
You need that. What the hell's happening? I don't know what it was. But I need to see. I need to know more. Like, they need that for Star Trek,
right?
Because as we've discussed many times on the show, usually the first couple seasons of a Star Trek show are really slow. Discovery cannot do that.
Yeah.
Even TNG had really bad episodes in the first couple seasons.
Yeah,
and Voyager
baseball for three seasons.
No,
well. Deep Space
Look,
Nine.
Man,
almost.
I tried to get my roommates in college into Deep Space Nine, and that baseball killed it. There was way too much baseball references.
I agree with the baseball. That had to go.
Like, just cut a huge chunk of that out. And
there's only like two baseball-heavy episodes.
Yeah, but he just kept talking about baseball.
Well, and using baseball metaphors, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like there's two really heavy episodes, and the next thing you know, it's just like four episodes later, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a pinch hitter right there. It's like, just stop with
baseball. It'd be like me like making a bunch of cricket references. You guys would be like, I mean, yeah. I know cricket's like popular like in India and Pakistan and stuff like that, but it's like around here nobody gets it. So everyone would be like, what?
It's like, you know, it's a couple hundred year old dead sport by this time in Federation.
Like literally no one plays it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure all the Ferengi on Deep Space Nine were really interested in your baseball references.
Yeah.
My dad loved Deep Space Nine because my dad's a baseball junkie and I never understood it.
But that's okay. If you like Deep Space Nine, that's okay.
This is my favorite series.
It's not mine.
But you gotta get past season three.
I just ignore the baseball stuff. Yeah, after season three it becomes an amazing
show. I would
show.
Agree with that, but in order for something to be my favorite series, the whole series has to be good.
Right.
Oh,
by and large the whole series. You can't seasons.
Four out of sevens. But I mean, it makes after you've seen Deep Space Nine all the way through, the first couple seasons are somehow less offensive. That's how I found it personally. Like on the first time watching it, I was like, I don't even know how I can get through this. But after I've seen it all the way through a couple times, the first couple seasons I've gotten less and less.
That's
offensive
because you've fallen in love with the characters and you know what's going to happen, so it takes a different meaning when you're first coming in fresh eyes.
Oh yeah, it's bad from fresh eyes for sure.
So anyway, so the Brian Fuller thing. That didn't play out well.
Also, casting was a nightmare because AMC was total like assholes about releing Sonequa Martin-Green. Yeah. Like they wouldn't like even
you couldn't even
they couldn't even announce that she was cast until
because people would be afraid that they were like, oh, she's gonna die, which she did, but.
But I just don't understand. I mean, like, Discovery is going to be a short. They originally pitched it as like a 10-episode show. I know we've got 15 episodes now, but they pitched it as like a short 10 or 13-episode show.
Right.
I feel like that would be totally doable around The Walking Dead schedule.
Let's be very clear. AMC holds on to their people with an iron fist. Like, we had the comic book men when they came over to
for whichever Comic-Con it was that they were here for.
It was Nickel City 2 years ago. Yeah.
They were not, they were allowed to do a, we were allowed to record them, but we were not allowed to use that recording or film anything. It had to be a written piece. I mean, that's AMC's rule. Like, that's what companies do now. Like, you've got a brand, you're going to hold on to that brand till the last possible second.
Yeah. I don't know, I feel like some of the Walking Dead actors have done other things while they were doing Walking Dead.
You know,
I want to say they've done, like, they've done some movies, I think.
I mean, the guy who played Merle.
Merle, he was in some movies.
But he died, like, what, after the third season?
He died real quick.
Well, the first season, you thought he died, and then he came back.
And then he came back, yeah. And then you thought, and then he did die, and then he came back again as a zombie.
Yeah, but what's he
for
gonna
like
say?
For like two episodes, you saw him walking around with a claw hand.
Yeah, bothering Daryl. But, but nobody else really kind of goes and does it.
Nobody else, but I know Merle has done some things. Well, I don't know the time frame. Yeah.
He did the Guardians of the Galaxy. But yeah, so anyways, that's fine. I mean, it's like, that's kind of like internal politics, and you got to like, people have their own, you know, way they're going to exit their shows. And I'm just happy that, you know, we've got the actors we've got lined up, because they all seem really fabulous. So,
oh yeah, Jason Isaacs is amazing. Yeah. Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Doug Jung, like that alien thing. He's got like, he's basically walking on the balls of his feet. He's got like hooves.
Yeah.
In his boots.
Yeah.
So he's like just walking on like his toes like the entire time. He's got weird looking feet.
So he's like in heels constantly.
Reverse heels.
Ooh. that's the Brian Fuller side of it. We did get some other weird rumors of Nicholas Meyers might be doing some other show.
And Nicholas Meyers has said he's doing another television. He said he's doing something else with Star Trek.
Yeah.
What it is, nobody knows. It's just he's got another Star Trek project going on.
Animated series.
No, the thing is, my dad has sent me this video today, and at the end of the video, they were talking about like rumors and stuff like that, and they said the rumor is that CBS believes, quote-unquote, this is all rumor, don't take this as serious, but quote-unquote, CBS believes that Discovery will fail because all the people, you know, complaining about it in Star Trek forums on Facebook and stuff, like, all these people complaining about it, they're going to like let Fuller come up with a new show in a different time period. And then just say, if it fails, then they can just announce this new show that Nicholas Meyers is heading up, and then be like, oh, look, well, we were planning an anthology series all along. Like, I mean, it's convoluted, and
at
it's
At the
rumor.
End of the day, if you are a production company that is in charge of making content,
why would you, like, think your show's doomed before it comes out? That's dumb.
That's number one.
It's a bad rumor.
That's number one. Number two, if you can't take negativity from your fans in today's day and age, then why are you still in business?
That's what kind of killed Enterprise, though, back in the day.
I have to tell you, though, well, I think Enterprise was other things, too, but I do have to say that out of all fandom, I'm going to say this, and I know a lot of people are going to hate it, I think Star Trek fans are the most cuntiest bitches out there sometimes. They just get so stupid.
It would be a tie between Star Trek and Star Wars.
I don't know. Star Wars they seem like they're almost like, you know, hey man.
They'll love anything that
you
comes
know what
out.
It is. You know what it is.
They lost their minds over a single character because he wasn't like, because he's Jar Jar Binks and he was too stupid, and the whole point of it was to bring in some element of comedy to the thing.
Yeah, but Ginger.
And they lost their minds over it.
He was kind of bad. But all I got to say is that from what I can tell, every time I talk to, from compared to a Star Wars fan to a Star Trek fan, it seems like Star Wars fans are sort of just like the guys that go to church on the weekends and go like, yeah, I believe in God, it's cool. And Star Trek fans seem to be the people who are like,
They're like 16 different cults.
Yeah, they're like way into it. Like,
you went to a different level that I was not thinking of.
Yeah, and you're and like they've got a bunker in their basement and stuff like that.
Cult status isn't that far off, because I mean, people bitched about TNG before it came out because Kirk and Spock weren't going to be in it. People are bitching about this show because it looks like JJ-verse, and I'm like, get over it. A show's going to look modern.
At the end of
the show's gonna look modern.
Like I said,
you can't put 60 sets onto a 2017 show.
You're not gonna go back to
behind a paywall.
Kirk era sets, people will not watch it. It just won't happen.
Yeah, and it's just people are just complaining. Oh, it looks like it's got lens flares. It's got windows for view screens. That's taking all the stuff from the JJ universe. It's not original. And I'm like, none of the Star Trek series are original. If you take it that light, after Enterprise, after TNG, you had Enterprise, Deep Space. I mean, not Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Next Gen. You had three shows. They were on a ship. That you had your command crew with a bridge set, an engineering set, and hallway sets. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same as original series. That's not original either. So you're complaining about, you know, this not being original because it's copying JJ. Right. That's a thin walls, it's a paper argument. It makes no sense.
Also, to do the callback earlier modern. That we were just talking about, you have to make it look cool. It's space, for God's sakes.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Imagine if Neil deGrasse Tyson just stood up there and talked about space in a monotone voice for the entire time of his podcast.
Well, I might listen to that, but that's a different story. But I'm a boring person. I just think that that people need to dial it back a little bit and enjoy the ride.
Just enjoy it. Like,
let it come out before you start complaining. Yeah, like, give it. I hate.
But you were also one of the ones, though, I'm not going to pay for it. Like, you should at least pay for the first month. And then decide if you're going to give it.
I don't think that's the same thing. Like, you shouldn't have to. We're getting to a point now in all content creation that, I mean,
everything's subscription based.
Yeah, you see it on YouTube now. Like, be YouTube Red, and you don't get ads, and you get specific content for you. Like,
yeah.
No. Like, I just, if you're a company, the way that the old model is still functional, ad revenue still works, and yet. Everybody now is like, no, ad revenue doesn't work enough. We need more money. I get it. You're making content is more expensive now. I get that. But hiding everything behind paywalls, that already limits your audience.
I agree. And I do worry that this paywall is going to crush Discovery. I think it'll come out afterward and people might get into it. Like, my fear is this. It'll do its first run. It won't get the subscriptions it needs, and it'll go away, and it'll get released fully on Netflix for the American-Canadian audience. They'll be like, holy shit, that's a great show. And then it'll be like Firefly. It'll be like, oh, sorry, we tore all the sets apart. And
exactly. And then you're going to come up with like the two-hour movie, and that's it, and you're done. And then actually, you're not even going to get a two-hour movie out of this because they're just going to be like, well, you can watch the next Star Trek that JJ comes out with if you want something. Like,
right. Or the Nicholas Meyers one, if that is what they're going to do.
Yeah, like they're just going to throw it right back to
so
that.
So that's my biggest fear.
But that fear should be alleviated a little bit because Netflix has fully funded the first season by its by getting the rights to release it in all countries except for U.S. and Canada.
So
since Netflix paid for it, I mean, yes, it's BS that we don't get that on Netflix. But, you know, that should at least, you know, fingers crossed, you know, perfect world situation,
right.
That should at least give us a second season.
I don't
because
think that matters.
CBS has no loss for the first season. They can fund. The first season is completely funded by Netflix.
I get that.
So even if it bombs, they can still make a second season.
They can, but why would they if it bombs? You're not going to your first season is fully funded.
If it bombs,
you're not going to do that.
It doesn't matter. It could still make money on Netflix, and if Netflix could still order a second season from them,
but they can order it. But CBS still has the right to say, "Yeah, we're not producing that anymore."
Well, if it does really well on Netflix, then they might.
I mean, yes, that's a possibility. I'm not going to count it out, but I don't think if this thing bombs. I think CBS is going to be 100% embarrassed by it, and then they're going to kill it. They're going to sweep it under the rug and done with it.
Supposedly, The Good Wife is making money, and I never heard of it. And it's one of the
CBS
All Access shows. Yes, it is.
But it's not on regular television.
No,
it used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a spinoff show.
There is a spinoff.
That's
show,
the
yes.
one. That's the one. That's the one. On, the spinoff shows are the one on All Access.
Okay,
but that's not a brand new. I mean, it is technically a brand new concept.
And its production cost is going to be far less.
For the most part, it's not a brand new concept. It's a spinoff of a...
Star Trek's a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff.
Yeah, but
what's your point?
This has... if I'm remembering it correctly, The Good Wife spinoff, whatever the hell the name of it is still maintaining characters from the old show.
I have no idea.
You're starting a new universe, essentially, here. You're starting the Discovery universe within the Star Trek universe.
But people are already subscribed. I think they announced they've already got 1 million subscribers. And this is before even Star Trek's even out on it.
All right. Well, I'm hopeful that it works.
I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful for Star Trek, Star Wars, and anything in geek culture to work. I am, because it's big, it's fun, and quite frankly, we don't make this, what we're doing right now, a living without that kind of stuff. So I hope that everything works, but I just don't have faith in companies, big companies.
I agree.
And I don't either, but I mean,
they're going to kill this thing. The minute this has any even chance of tanking, they're going to be like, nope, that's it. We're done.
If you don't want it to tank, you should subscribe.
One subscriber is not going to do it. Although, yes, logic.
Everyone who's out there saying they're not going to subscribe should subscribe if you don't want to see Star Trek die for another 15 years.
Sure.
I mean, sure, we get a movie every 5-4 years, but I mean, that's not the same as like having a TV series every year.
Yeah.
And there was another article, more news. I mean, this is a news-heavy episode, but there was another article I saw someone posted on Facebook today that said, are we entering a new golden age of Star Trek? And I'm like, I guess it depends on how well Discovery does. Like, you don't count your chickens before they hatch.
You can't really say that yet.
Yeah, I mean, if Iron Man didn't do well,
we wouldn't have the whole Marvel universe.
I mean,
if you look at DC... Yes.
Yeah, but that was...
But DC's doing it wrong. DC's, like, jumping the gun. They're not building characters. But
Kimway also said Marvel kind of set the whole tone that Warner Brothers could say, like, this is a money-making machine. We just got to get on the bus.
Even though they're making bad movies, they're still making money.
Just not making as much. Well, I mean, Wonder Woman did great, so...
Wonder Woman did fantastic.
But Wonder Woman was their first good movie.
And to be completely honest, look at the difference that they did. That is... A company saying, wow, we really shit the bed on the first one.
Sure.
Let's go back to the drawing boards. Look at all of the things that made Wonder Woman really awesome.
Yeah.
There's some real comparisons between a Wonder Woman movie and a Captain America movie. I mean, I'm going to say it. There's real comparisons to the two movies right there.
Sure.
I hope that CBS goes over, if this does not do well on its first run, that they take it back and say... We really shit the bed on this one. How can we make it work?
Well, I don't think it's the content yet. I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the content, but I think the reason it may not work is because of the paywall. That's what I'm most scared about. It's because people who say they love Star Trek are going to be like, no, I'm going to wait till it comes out on DVD. You do realize that paying for 2 or 3 months of this for $6 is going to be less than like a $60 DVD, because Star Trek DVDs are not cheap.
No, they're stupid ridiculous.
They're like,
no,
they're like, also, you know, like $80 to $100 a season.
Going back
like,
to what you
ridiculous.
Just told me, by saying, I'm going to wait till it comes out on DVD, you essentially shot Star Trek in the foot because...
Or what you said earlier, I'm going to go watch it on a torrent site.
Yeah.
You're shooting Star Trek in the foot.
That's Don't everything that I've said is 100%. Like, the difference is, let's be very clear, my father probably already has it, CBS All Access. At some point, I'm probably going to walk downstairs and be like, hey, just let you know... Star Trek Discovery, it's on like soon, so maybe you should, you know, sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
And like that's gonna happen. So am I gonna watch it on CBS All Access? I'm probably gonna catch a couple episodes here or there. If it doesn't draw me in within the first 2 episodes, I might be generous and give it 3. I'm not gonna I have other things to watch, but I also have other content that I can spend that hour.
Well, your issue, Adam, other than the normal people, is that
you're also working content creation.
You are trying to devour as much content as you can to record, video it, and write about
that,
it.
That hour that I could I'm spending to watch this content is hour that I can't be recording a video game researching something Star Wars related or researching something Green Lantern related that I can then bring up in more content.
Right,
so,
exactly. You're in a different boat than most people, but I do, I think
most people are in a similar boat.
Yes, I think they are, because it's like you go to work every day, you work your 8 hours a day, whatever, and get home, eat your lunch or eat your dinner, hang out with your family, and you probably have about 2 to 2.5 hours of like.
This like, is my time.
My
like,
time. Yeah.
Like visual entertainment.
You go down
time.
To the man cave, or you go down to the to
basement,
the,
or
the woman cave, whatever that's called.
You know, you do have like 2.5 hours worth of viewing. You know, whatever, maybe 3 at most.
Yeah,
and you're gonna watch the shows that you know like. If it's The Walking Dead, if it's, you know,
and you're
Game
gonna,
of Thrones.
You're gonna, let's be clear. You're going to miss, for start, if you're a, if you are a Star Trek fan, you are 100% going to be like, you know what? The new episode of Game of Thrones comes out today, but I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to watch Star Trek. And if it disappoints you, and you're like, I miss Game of Thrones for this,
I think Game
you're
of Thrones
done.
Will be over before Star Trek comes
it was
out.
Just in... Put regular
sure, yeah.
example.
It could like, be anything. It could,
it
be,
could
the,
be anything.
It could be the
yeah.
Flash.
Yeah,
it could
yeah
be
I know.
Gotham.
But Game
any...
of Thrones is big. I mean, like that would be a big sacrifice.
It could be the Defenders coming up or any
that's
of those.
True.
Things,
it, yeah. Whatever big, we'll call it AAA. I don't know what it's called in TV world, but like the AAA title.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, you're going to sacrifice that in the first episode for this. And if this does not deliver, if this doesn't wow you more than what you skipped. You're just going to stop watching it. Yeah. This first episode has to be the best episode, in my opinion. Because otherwise, people are just going to stop watching it and go to whatever content they skipped to watch it.
Absolutely.
Before.
Yeah. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Well, but that being said, you can't go over, like CBS, if you come across this, you can't go over and throw all of your time into episode 1 and then let episodes 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all fail miserably because you spent all your time in one. Don't do that because that's just going to piss more people off.
Hopefully whoever's in charge is smart.
Intelligent.
They are doing some
that.
Interesting marketing with Star Trek Discovery. Jerry Condra, who was on a couple episodes ago, she went and saw Valerian in 4D. I didn't even know they had 4D movie theaters for their movies.
Do you just sit in a box and it gets projected around you?
No. It's like it's one of those your seats vibrate and move a little bit with them.
You can go to Dips and Theaters and go to the D-Box to experience that.
But that's she saw Valerian
for like $17 a seat, by the way.
Mm. But she saw Valerian,
so like
and
$4 more.
Yeah, it's only $4 more. You get moving seats, you get vibrating, you get that pleasure.
I'm not baiting. I'm not going there. Never
Man,
mind. You're not baiting me.
If it jiggles my balls, maybe I'll do it.
Toss my salad a little bit.
Toss my.
No, she said that.
It's hard to believe we're talking about Star Trek right now.
Oh, we say much dirtier thing. No, but she said she saw the original trailer for Star Trek Discovery in front of Valerian in 4D. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
That it's showing in some movie theaters. Unfortunately, I hear Valerian is bombing. So that's not
great. It was
great.
Not good. I was super hopeful for it. It was.
I haven't
not
seen
good.
It yet, but I wanted to see it.
But the thing is, a lot of people like said that about the Fifth Element too, and then all of a sudden got this giant cult following.
It 100% looks in the trailers like it's going to be the next
Fifth Element.
It's gonna. When I say the next Star Wars, Star Trek, Guardians of the Galaxy, just on that level,
right? Yeah,
not the next one on that level, and it was not on that level at all. Even the good actors who they got, like the top billing actors, were just like,
"Man,
that's so you got paid to do this? Oh, okay." Like, it's almost like they volunteered it
for
service hours.
I'll watch it and make my own decision.
I mean, I'll probably go see it, but I mean, I've heard mediocre things about it.
I walked in hoping that it was going to be amazing, and maybe that's the key. Maybe now
low expectations, and then maybe we'll like it better.
Exactly. Maybe now that I've just beaten it to the ground, and hopefully into the ground a little bit, because I'm so upset by it. You guys have low expectations. You walk out like that was so great. I don't know how you didn't like it. Hopefully,
yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't have high expectations from it either. I mean, I was never the biggest fan of the Fifth Element. I know I'm probably yelled at by a lot of people who love it.
I'm like, it's okay, but Fifth Element.
Yeah, I didn't think it was amazing or
anything.
Fifth
Element's fun,
it okay.
but it's kind of a simplistic story.
It's like a B-roll.
I 100% plan on like, all right, I got the original hype and everything else built in. Then I went and saw it. It let me down. I might go back and see it again, and maybe that, now that I'm walking in, like, all right, this isn't the next Guardians, then I walk out of it being like, oh, actually, you know what, it wasn't, I've set the bar too high, maybe.
Or maybe you thought, like, it's in a different vein, and so you're expecting one type of movie, you got a different type of movie.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on it.
Yeah, we should have another conversation. I'll go see it again, and then you guys go see it, and then we'll have another conversation
we'll talk about
Valerian.
Right,
yeah, that'd be fun.
But should we get into the meat of our topic for this episode?
Yeah, I have notes, about like so an yes. hour and a half of news.
Yeah,
it was a big news week. It just was. So I'm sorry if you're looking forward to hearing about the Killing Game from Voyager, and you've had to listen to all our ramblings about what's happening.
We did get into it, but there was a lot that happened in the last week.
And it's exciting. It's really exciting, the new Star Trek.
And the best part is it's not about specific characters, so I can answer questions way better.
True. So here we go. Like you said, this is the Voyager episode Killing Game. This is season 4, episode 18.
Stardate 51715.2.
This came out in our...
Did the Hirogen give the Stardate?
In our Gregorian calendar. It came out in March 4th, 1998.
And they played both episodes on the same day, which is weird.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I played the same episodes on the same day because I watched it the same day. But.
Right, right. So here we go. The first beginning of what we have is a...
you are so cheating. I wrote like notes down and stuff.
I write notes too. What are you talking about?
He wrote the Memory Alpha page.
That's right.
That he's reading.
So anyway, so we start off that the Janeway is fighting the Klingons that are in her
holodeck.
In a holodeck, but she is a Klingon. And at first you think like...
Speaking Klingon, too.
And you think like, did Janeway ever have like a fetish to be a Klingon or want to fight? Like, that's your first thought when you see it. Like,
it's like maybe she's finally growing out of those old, you know, Victorian.
I will say that the makeup is really good. I remember not the time that I just watched it, but when I first saw this when I was a kid, it threw me for a loop. Like, it's her voice, but it doesn't 100% look like
no,
her.
No, it doesn't. It like she's like
they did a
very heavily makeup.
They did a really good job with the makeup on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she did. You don't really pick it up right away that's her, but then you're like, oh, that's
Janeway.
Yeah,
you hear the voice, and you're like, but that doesn't look like... And then it zooms out of her face a little bit, and you're like, oh, that is her. That's actually right. Really cool.
So anyway, so then we have... she gets stabbed, and then she's brought into the sick bay.
By a Hirogen.
Right, a Hirogen, and he's like, well, we've got to fix her up and get her back out there, and the doctor's scrambling to fix her injuries, and he's complaining that there's been so many injuries already to that nature, you know, that, and you're like, what's going on? Like, why are these people all getting hurt? And then what you find out is that they have all been Voyager has been captured or taken over by this race called the Hirogens. That are a hunter race?
They're a hunter race that you introduced, I think, earlier in the season or late the season before.
They do get... this is episode 3 and 4 or 4 and 5?
It was 17 and 18. Season 4.
This is season 4.
Season 4,
episode 17 and 18. So
it gets... They get introduced... Oh, I'm really tapping into Voyager knowledge here. I want to say towards the end of season 3... Heavily in the beginning of season 4.
Because then I know Seven gets kidnapped by one, or she's hanging out on a Hirogen ship earlier in the season.
Yeah, and then they disappear for a little bit, and then next thing you know, somehow they were organized enough to capture Voyager.
Right. So
it's my biggest complaint about the whole thing, by the way.
That you just don't know how they got captured?
You just start with, like, Starfleet vessel, which has survived essentially... way longer than they probably should have with
all the crap that happened to them.
Yeah.
Species 4572, the Borg, and all this stuff like that. And then it's just like...
And if you look at it, I want to say it's like 4 or 5 Hirogen ships, and they're just like...
It's 4 Hirogen ships surrounding. So basically, Voyager gets taken over by the rednecks of the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, we got our duck calls out here. We're going to go shit in the lake, and we're going to hunt people.
And they chew their...
Hey, wouldn't that be the Kazon, though?
No. The Kazon are just lazy children.
Yeah,
lazy children race who just steal things whenever they can get to do it.
I don't know if these guys are totally different, except they're just a little more motivated.
No. Rednecks are all about hunting.
Okay.
Especially in the South, because I grew up with a bunch of them, great guys. But they're out there, and Duck Dynasty is all about it. If you haven't seen Duck Dynasty,
salt of the earth. But
no, really, I grew up with them. Great guys. The deer sausage is amazing. So thank God for the hunters. But no, the entire race of the Hirogen is like, we gotta hunt. That's all we do. Kazon don't hunt. They're just like,
I have a complaint that I can steal. Yeah. I have a major complaint, and I have a major like not complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Compliment, I guess, would be the opposite of that. Yeah.
Anti-complaint.
Major complaint. You only tell us one thing about how they captured the ship, and it's like, we breached their hull. Okay, you're just... It doesn't make sense.
We penetrated their defenses.
It's a Starfleet ship. It's got sensors all over the damn place. They're kind of used to it, because they fought you guys before, and you just breached their hull and somehow managed to take over everything.
But you gotta remember, Voyager's a tiny ship. It's got a complement of, like, less than 200? And there was four Hiroshian ships.
It just doesn't make sense, though. Like, come on, think about
granted,
it.
And granted, you only see five of the characters on the ship, so, I mean, maybe it's even less.
Like, the ghost crew. It's actually all holograms that do everything. But come on, like, you're going to tell me a Starfleet ship was captured without, like, again...
Granted, they've been in the Delta Quadrant for 4 years, they've been beat the shit out of, and they had four ships banging up on them at the same time.
And you're not going to, like... It just doesn't make sense to me that there's no evidence of struggle.
No.
I mean, this is the problem that I know that... Is it you that has with Voyager? That there's just no... evidence that they've been in the Delta Quadrant for as long as they have been.
Oh, that's my thing, too.
That's yours? Like, yeah. I get it. Like, that is 100% valid. The ship should look destroyed.
Two different nacelles, you know.
Especially right after...
This episode?
Yeah, like...
This episode, this should look like a totally different ship by the end of it. I can't even believe they flew off at the end of it.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, well, see you,
like,
later,
decks,
guys.
I think they said,
off.
Like, decks, like, 3
Dude,
through 12 were converted
so
to holodecks.
They blew so much shit up inside that ship. Well, I mean, you want to talk about converted to holodecks, that's one thing. The ship was blown up in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's just get back to the story real quick, because there's a lot to go through. So Janeway, like I said, she was stabbed with the Klingon War, brought to the holodeck. She said that they mentioned that there is a neural interface that's in her that kind of makes her believe that she's part of
the holodeck
story.
Simulation.
Story, yeah. So somehow it represses her memories of who she is and then gives her the idea that she's...
It makes
a Klingon warrior.
It makes her flesh and blood hologram, which is
again,
really weird.
Again, you're going to tell me that these hunters just
figured this out.
The technology, like...
Well, I know. So,
there's glaring issues with this episode.
So Janeway...
You picked it.
Yeah, Janeway...
This is your favorite
like
episode.
I still like it. It's just, there's glaring issues.
And we'll deep dive into the issues after the episode.
Yeah.
Janeway is... put back after she's patched up into a Star Trek will do that to you into a World War II simulation, and she's put in there with Janeway's put in there with Seven of Nine, Neelix, Tuvok, and B'Elanna Torres, and it's Nazi occupation in Saint Clair, France. And they're kind of part of the French Resistance.
The Resistance.
Oh, I'm gonna get you all
like,
French fries.
Leave the war outside, but I'm going to conspire in here.
Yes. Also, you forgot that Neelix is in there.
No, I said Neelix.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. I was
no, believe me.
I love how Neelix is just like, oh, I'm gonna just put it on my tab. Like, since one of their tabs on like bread in
put
France.
It on my tab. Oh ho ho ho, you Germans. Oh ho ho.
I was more focused on getting the beer than listening to you recapping the episode.
Well, anyways.
Thank you for the beer.
You're welcome.
Janeway in this simulation is running a restaurant where we have 7 of 9. She is singing,
and that's really Jerry Ryan's voice.
Is it really?
Yeah,
it
she sang for the episode for real.
Wonderful.
She has got a beautiful voice.
And a wonderful actress.
And many other things. But
head to toe.
So anyways, she... we
Sit.
In the simulation, this restaurant is a place
Nine.
Where...
Nine.
So in the simulation, Janeway is known as Catherine...
Katrine. Katrine. It's like so close to like, Catherine. It's like yeah. Twice.
To Latrine.
Latrine.
I just realized that he really is the Dobby of this episode. He's just trying not so hard to get through this, and the two of us are just derailing.
This is every episode ever.
Well,
it's literally impossible. It's like walking on a carpet that has like it's not nailed down and it just keeps slipping out from under you.
You're welcome, folks.
We know that this is what you really came to see.
Yeah.
Well, they were going to call her Genevieve as kind of a poke in the ribs because Genevieve, what's her face, was going to be the original actress who played Janeway.
That's shitty. So
they changed it.
So what happens is the Nazis can go into this restaurant tavern, and the idea is that they're supposed to just forget about the war, just enjoy yourself. And that's kind of the rules.
Enjoy looking at Seven.
Yeah, enjoy looking at Seven here, Sing. So what happens is the Hirogen come in, and they are dressed out in the full Nazi uniforms. And they walk in, and we get kind of like the introduction to Catherine and the main Hirogen character, Captain or...
Commandant.
The Alpha.
The Commandant, yeah.
The Alpha Commandant.
So... He's sort of like the guy who's running the whole show, and he's got a different twist than just commonly just going after the prey. He wants to kind of study the prey and see what he can glean from them and use them with their own
society.
Society and culture.
He's worried their society is going to destroy itself by spreading out too far.
Which I would have to agree. I don't know how that's sustainable. But what happens is during that time, so like I said, she's singing and everyone's enjoying themselves and we're kind of getting the lay of the land where when the Hirogen walk in and we get kind of their introduction and she's trying to get to know him because I guess he's supposed to be new to the area or something.
That's yeah, he's the new...
New I Commandant.
Mean, they call him the new Commandant, but then everybody, all the other Hirogens... Even when he's not in the simulation, call him the Commandant. So I wonder if that's not a rank within Hirogen.
They just wrote it into the program to... So that's what they call him.
That was his character
Maybe that's
name
his
was
name.
Commandant. I don't know.
The Commandant.
The Commandant.
First name is The. Last name is Commandant. The Commandant.
Right. So...
I hope that's in a script somewhere.
but he's like... You can tell he's like, you don't want to play the game. And she's like, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, we're just hanging out.
Oh, yeah. One guy comes and tells her all these like weird things that are happening to the ship. And she's like, what is he talking about?
But
it's like they made them as dumb as hologram characters. So they're basically just like fleshy holograms walking around.
Oh, it is the worst.
They literally just turned them into robots.
So later the cafe's closed. And then we find out that they're all part of the resistance.
And resistance.
And we find that Belana Torres, or her name is Bridget. She is Brigitte. Pregnant.
Bridget. Come on.
With the one human Nazi.
Is Brigitte.
Brigitte. The Colbert Report.
Unless you're... Never mind. You'll get to the next part. You'll get to the thing that I'm going to say later.
But she finds out that Brigitte, or Belana Torres, is pregnant with a Nazi captain who is... She did it, I guess, just to get kind of in with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a spy.
She's committed.
I guess you're really committed if you commit that much.
With legs wide open unto the Nazi rise.
As somebody who... wanted to be a history major in college, that was not uncommon for the French Resistance.
Wow, let's get pregnant, huh?
That was 100% do whatever it took to get close and get the details that you needed to send to Allied Command.
That's
so
crazy.
Be pretty and do things.
All jokes aside, thank you for putting your bodies aside to save the world, essentially.
Wow, crazy. So
you really are the salt of the earth.
They are.
Real French women doing real French things.
With French bread.
And French fries.
With French fries.
And French toast.
And French onion soup.
Oh, and French bowl cuts.
I'm pretty sure French onion soup is not actually French.
I don't think French fries.
None of the things that we actually just mentioned are actually French.
Anyway, so they find out they get a radio message from the Allied forces, and they have to disable the Nazis' communications. So this is where Belana comes up with their plan that she's going to say that she's not feeling well to see her boyfriend, Nazi boyfriend.
Her lover.
Her lover. Man, there should be a song called Nazi Boyfriend.
Nazi Boyfriend.
No, Aaron, there should not be a song called Nazi Boyfriend.
It'd be awesome.
By Vanilla Ice.
By Vanilla Ice.
Nazi Boyfriend.
Nazi Boyfriend. Anyways, this guy does sort of look like Vanilla Ice.
He does.
Yeah, he's got kind of Vanilla Ice kind of like look to him.
He's a good actor, though. I like
him
in the show.
He was pretty good. He was good.
For a German.
Thus Germans.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so we got there. So dumb. So, so she goes to the Nazi headquarters, acts like she's having some baby pains, labor pains, not really sure.
Morning sickness all over
They let her in. And from there, she meets with them, and then she kind of gets a lay of the room, and she does see that, which is strange because there's a radio operator, and then all of a sudden, like, when you first walk in, he's not there, and all of a sudden, like, he's in the corner. Like, why is just the guy just sitting in the room? Like, it just seems
more
weird.
More importantly, it's the guy's office that this radio operator is now sitting in. Like, they couldn't give him his own little space.
Which is weird because
put him in the closet.
And he's, like, doing, like, Morse code and stuff like that. It's like, what?
Nonstop. Like, he never... If you notice that, like, when she sees him, he's doing Morse code. When they come back later, he's doing Morse code.
He's like,
doesn't stop.
I'm on camera. Oh, my God. I'm on camera.
He doesn't stop.
I'm on camera. But also, like, that's all he's saying.
He's getting the codes, but then also sending stuff at the same time.
Don't they have, like, verbal radio, too?
Not the way that it works. You can send and not receive, or you can receive and not send. So, way to get historically accurate.
It's science fiction. It works.
Yeah.
Holodeck program.
Exactly.
So, you can say it's not a historical accuracy mishap. It's just the guy who programmed the hologram in the future
didn't realize. Which I believe is Tom Paris. Which she'll get into in a second. And
well,
if he doesn't
Tom Paris
it,
said
I'll
he's familiar
it.
With the program, but I don't think he designed it.
Yeah, this sounds like a Tom Paris thing. This sounds like a Tom Paris hologram.
Maybe he bought it.
He was like,
I want my Call of Duty hologram game.
Maybe. Could have been.
God, can you imagine if we can put Call of Duty in a holodeck? Or any video game? It's going to get to that point. They're going to play.
No,
that's going to be the classic.
We've talked about this.
Can't wait.
This is going to happen someday.
It's going to. Yeah. Now that VR has essentially failed, that's going to be the next big
thing. VR has failed.
Well, legs wide open.
Dude, there's like 10 games for it, and they haven't released any more because nobody's... It's too expensive.
It's ridiculous.
It's too expensive, and it's
and
only immersive.
And there's no software for it.
And it's only immersive for one person.
Yeah.
It needs to be more... This has been a
holodecks.
Problem from the start. You can only move in a 5-foot square... You need
if you have a place big enough to move in a 5-foot square in
exactly.
your house
like
with
it
furniture
need, it
and
needs,
stuff in it.
This was a proof of concept, in my opinion.
Well, all right, let's get back to the story.
Hurting cats, I'm so sorry.
So besides her making lovey eyes and finding out where the Nazi radio station is... I love Nazi radio station. That's great, too.
Nazi radio station. Oh, yeah, we got to copyright that.
This is 100% going to be banned.
It's like, this is right Nazi here. Radio station coming out to you from St. Clair, France.
Hail
Hitler.
Sieg Heil.
So what we find out is Nexus.
N-A-Z-I.
The doctor, we get Neelix, and he's all... that's right. Erogen sees the Neelix and just decides just to pump lead into him.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And then Seven and they run away. And then,
well, first he's really mean and he breaks his bread and pours out his wine. I mean, that's just rude.
That's rude.
I hate. Even though it's
so
holographic,
bad.
It's.
I want him to die.
I love what the Erogen says to him. If it was up to me, you'd be dead already. I think that's what the entire audience was thinking. It's like, oh my God, yes.
That's what I was. What I said the first day he showed up on the screen.
I really think Neelix
needs to die.
No, I don't think that. Although I don't think Jar Jar needs to die either. But think that it's
there's a huge gulf between you and me.
He plays it really well, where he's just like,
no, he's a good actor.
All right, well, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna leave now. Thanks. Like he 100% plays that nervous. Like nope, don't need to do that. I'm gonna leave. Bye.
So Neelix gets shot. Seven does as well. And when they get into the sick bay, basically what happens is the doctor attends to their wounds, but he realizes that Seven and Nine's interface to the holodeck that makes her believe that she's part of that scenario is not actually functioning anymore. And so he decides that instead of installing the new one, he kind of like forgoes it, or he doesn't, you know.
He installs the new one, but he like hooks it up to one of her Borg implants that just cancels it out.
That's right.
As soon as it gets triggered.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness for all them
Borg
implants.
You also missed a little
bit of a little tiny bit of importance. That
what's that?
That Janeway and Tuvok believe that Seven is actually a Nazi sympathizer.
Sure.
I mean, that comes back into play later. Is
yeah,
the reason I say that.
It's an interesting thing, but there's a lot to go over.
Well, I hit it for you, so move on.
And what happens is Neelix is patched up and put into the
Klingon hologram.
And he's made into a Klingon.
And as much as I hate Neelix, Ethan Phillips does such a great job like bouncing between being Neelix and then being like
Klingon. I like Klingon to see him Neelix. As a Klingon. It was a little more interesting than Neelix. So.
Well, but he played it like a Klingon, which is great.
Right. Right. No, it was great. Yeah, it's fun. So
the best part is when he's Neelix,
and then he has to become
has to act like a Klingon, but he's still Neelix.
Well, that's hilarious. That's more funny because it's like, and just like
the doctor food throws in the fire.
Pardon me, gentlemen.
Yeah, or when the doctor goes like, "Kapla,
tally ho."
Yeah, exactly.
There's some really good one-liners.
It's really good.
Yeah, so there we go for she doesn't have her interface plugged in basically, and so she gets put back into that world, but then she realizes she can't
sing.
She can't sing.
Doesn't know her song.
And she's like,
"I'm not feeling good. Cough cough."
And like Janeway is kind of like, "You better get up there and sing and do your damn, cuz that's what all the Nazis are there to see." Is
apparently Hirogen, for being as big as hunters as they are, they love woman's voice. At least Sevens, anyway.
It could have been the doctors. It would have been more interesting.
Ooh.
Wouldn't it?
Would make Virtuoso totally different.
It would. It would be totally cool. Anyway, so then we get into Kim, who he somehow just is maintaining all the technology on the outside.
All the yellow shirts, they're like, "No. You don't get to play the killing game. We just get to smack the shit out of you in real life and make you do all the work.
Make you do like intense work schedules and not get any sleep or
food."
This
lasted 19... I think the doctor, when Seven was in sick bay to get patched up, he said they've been out for 19 days.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. So like he said that they had gone through the Crusades. That would have been really interesting to see. I would have loved to see them go through the Crusades.
But more importantly, what has Harry Kim been doing for 19 days?
Converting the ship. He's been working hard. He converted half the ship into a holodeck.
I'll let you go because you're going to touch on what he's been doing and what happens next.
Well, then other than getting his ass kicked constantly.
He's also giving orders to other ensigns or possibly people with higher rank than him. I love how he's like, go with the Hirogen and do this.
Well, he's a bridge officer.
Yeah, but I just love for that guy to go, "I pull rank on you, son. You do it."
He's a bridge officer, man. Yeah. That changes the game. That's the only time that you can outrank anybody.
Well, so Kim, like you said before, he's been converting the ship to one giant holodeck that they can do their game all over the place in the ship. While he has to do some repairs on one of the holodeck's emitters or something down on the ship lower levels, they have a guard and another crewman or ensign that's with them, and he has the crewman distract the guard and have him take him to engineering for some parts. And that's where he calls up the doctor and they start conspiring on how to basically shut the whole thing down and get Voyager back somehow. And the idea is basically that they're going to try to stop the implants from working.
Try to cancel the neural implants out.
And after that, then they'll try to find a way to blow up. Well, that was a Janeway plan.
Like blow up the hollow emitters.
That's a Janeway plan.
That's a Janeway
plan, which I'm going to come back to later.
But to blow up that the emitter for the chips and all the people. But anyways, but he's going. They're going to disrupt that, and the doctor's got to help them. So that's when he cancels. He uses Seven for that plan to get started. Anyway, so we see Kim failing as usual, and also just kind of, floundering around,
being his normal Kimmy self.
Oh man,
that the scene that he almost gets caught, where he calls a doctor into the conference room, and the Hirogens bust in, and they're like, "There was an unauthorized transmission from here." And he says, the way that he navigates that is just like, "Ooh, Harry, look at you.
You've got a hair on your balls.
Yeah,
a single
look at
hair.
That, look at that, man. You I was impressed.
He grew that one hair on his testicle.
And then he still gets smacked, which is
And then
great.
I just remember back to that other episode where he's in love with the holodeck program that he...
Yeah.
That whole thing that he had a hissy fit over.
Oh, poor Harry.
You grew so far and then...
Didn't. Poor Harry Wang.
Oh, jeez. Back to that again. So, like you mentioned, when 7 and 9 comes back and then she tries to sing, Tuvok has this idea that she might be like a Nazi sympathizer. And, you know, Janeway's like, nah, you know, but we'll keep an eye on her. From there, we've got the, obviously, 7 and 9 is kind of like broken out of that spell and she's aware of what's happening. So she's not aware of World War II whatsoever.
Or her role to play in the whole simulation at all.
So she's like, because I think even the doctor says, do you know what World War II is? Like, I don't even know what that is. So, because she's never been to Earth, right? That's the idea. Like, she was on a colony beforehand. So,
she was on a ship.
Yeah. She was on a ship with her parents because they were scientists
studying the Borg.
Right.
And then her. And then
she may have been to Earth, like, but you mean probably in that age span.
No,
where
there's a thing where they talk about it, where she's from a colony. She's
But even if she was on Earth, like between the ages of 1 and 3, you're not going to remember that.
No, yeah. All right.
Because there's that cutoff where you
could have
remember
physically
things.
Been on the planet,
right? But you don't remember. So, and obviously, she would have no reason to remember any of that stuff.
Wasn't she from Alpha Centauri?
I don't remember.
I just thought she was from a colony, but anyways.
I'm pretty sure she was a colony.
But
she talks about it.
She's family on Earth.
Good stock. So their plan now is they know that the Allies are coming and they've got to infiltrate the Nazi headquarters. So it's basically Janeway and 7 and 9 are going to try to get into the Nazi headquarters. Next, we have a cut to Chakotay and Tom Paris. They're the Allied troops, the Americans.
They're the Americans.
They're coming in and they're going to try to take the town of St. Clair. Tom Paris talks about B'Elanna Torres' character, Bridget.
Brigitte. What just came out of your mouth?
Brigitte. Brigitte. Whatever.
<Wow. laughs> That fell apart real quick.
It's Brigitte. It's Brigitte.
I like Brigitte.
Brigitte. Brigitte. I like Katrine, too, because it sounds like
Latrine. I knew you were going there.
Anyways, all French words sounds like you're from the toilet.
Listen, friend listeners, you eat snails, all right? Don't get mad at us.
Yeah, that's right. Snail eaters. They did give us wine and cheese. It's not bad. Anyways, and Paris talks about his relationship with B'Elanna Torres and how they used to write letters, and then one day the letters just stopped. When the war started, right. And
because then they're Nazis.
Damn, Nazis took over.
Knocked her up.
Shit got real, real quick.
Tom did not see that coming.
Oh, man.
Nazi, N-A-Z-I. He did not see that coming.
The Nazi jokes. So many Nazi jokes.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't really foresee Nazi jokes coming out.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's YouTube. I really don't know why I didn't
There's
see that
There's so many Nazi jokes to be talking about here.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so they're planning their attack, and they're going to go into the city. So we got the introduction of those characters.
Towards the very end of the first episode.
And then...
Oh, yeah, they're here, too.
And then what happens is... Janeway and Seven go into the Nazi headquarters, and they basically start getting ready to blow things up. But then 7 of 9 acts as some kind of panel within there, and she starts doing some...
And Janeway's like, oh my, you're a spy!
You are a spy, and she's going to shoot him.
This is why I brought up the whole Nazi traitor thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of an important thing when Janeway's holding a gun without the hologram safety procedures on.
And then... The doctor saves the day, turns off her implant after Seven enters the code, and then she's set.
Yeah, so now we've got Janeway, so we're in action. But
now we have a plan.
But unfortunately, this is where the Allied forces move in, and they start attacking in the town, and they started dropping artillery, especially the Nazi fortress. And when they hit it, they hit one of the walls. And since the safety protocols are not on, they basically blow a gigantic hole into...
like six decks of the ship. It's amazing.
It's so stupid.
And they just see this giant hole of all these decks, and they're just like... what the hell are we looking at?
It must be some Nazi bunker. We're going to invade.
Remember when I said that the biggest flaw was that the Hirogens took the ship and we don't know how? The biggest flaw with this episode is that I get it.
The holodeck safety protocols are so bad they can destroy the holodeck.
I get it. It's Star Trek. It's sci-fi. The ability, like, it's one thing to make a bullet real in a hologram. Like, that's different. It's really not what I'm about to say, but their whole plan revolves around blowing something up with a holographic explosive. It's not real. It's not. Like,
well, technically you could, I mean, if you go in a hologram, you can touch a desk and there's something real there. I mean, there's no reason that you couldn't make actual gunpowder.
It's a moving force field. So an explosion in the real life, an explosion is a pressure wave. It's air moving because of pressure.
No, but you could also make an actual bomb, and it could actually make that bomb and it could explode.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's going to be a force field moving. So I mean, a force field is going to be harder than air. So I mean, whenever you have a pressure wave from an explosion, the science behind it is that the air is being pushed away so fast it destroys everything.
I can get behind a little bit more.
So but the pressure
your logic,
wave.
I don't care if I can feel the desk. At the end of the day, if that's a holographic TV in front of us, by the way, I'm pointing to your TV for our audio listeners. If I take my beer and throw it at the holographic TV, actually, that's a bad reference. If I take the holographic beer and throw it at the real TV, it's not going to do anything. Like, I have a hard time believing that a holographic object can then cause damage, whether it's a force field or not, could cause damage to a physical, real-life object. Especially in terms of blowing out six decks and blowing an entire console.
I see where you're going with it, and it does make some sense what you're saying, but I
don't understand how it would go beyond the holodeck itself.
Because, I just think that they're making actual... if you actually make bullets with actual gunpowder, if you make actual bombs with actual explosives in it, why wouldn't
it? But it's not actual gunpowder.
But you could.
Explosives.
Why not?
I mean, the holodecks do...
if you go to the holodeck...
holodecks do use...
and if you... like, I want a chicken sandwich, and it gives you a chicken sandwich, you eat it. You're not eating a force field. You're actually eating food, right?
Because their replicator technology is built into the...
but that's for... food and drink.
But maybe when the safety protocols are off, you might get a real explosive.
Maybe. I mean,
it's true.
It's a little bit of a... also, for the end part of this, where they get everybody... I'm skipping ahead some dialogue stuff here, but when they get everybody off the chip by blowing up the console in sickbay...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They put the holographic bomb under it, which is in a Jeffries tube, which... you're telling me that the Hirogens told Harry Kim to put holographic emitters in the Jeffries tubes, too?
I don't know.
Like, it's... that
the Hirogen are committed to having this holographic ship.
I get
everywhere.
It, but...
that way
there's
they can,
not
you
much
know,
you're going
to
do.
They can meet a French maid in a Jeffries tube and get a quickie, and then they can go back to doing what they're doing.
I don't know. There's just... there's... that's a big kind of... really?
Hey, Hirogens like quickies too.
I like it's okay to go in. I'm just skipping over you. It's okay to go into the hallways with the holograms and having the German soldiers and everybody in there. Like that's different. But you're gonna tell me that they put holographic emitters in the Jeffries tubes too to put this bomb? Like that seems like it was very shoehorned in. We gotta blow something else up.
I don't know. I don't know how holodeck or holo emitters actually and how what the range is. So. There's a lot there to be said.
True.
For sure. And we've talked
maybe
about...
maybe they put the mobile emitter on the bomb. So.
Maybe,
actually,
but...
is the mobile emitter a thing yet?
Yes.
It is a
thing
at this
point? Yeah, he did show up later on.
I think it's season 2 or 3 thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it comes back in.
I think it's a season 2 or 3 thing.
Well, anyway, so that's the end of that episode. Then we get to the next episode, and basically we start off right where we ended, and...
literally, same scene.
Yeah, so we're basically like, oh my god, what is this giant gaping hole that looks like a some
alien
kind of
starship.
Really a flesh wound.
Yes.
In the middle of a ship.
Yeah, so...
no bulkheads were injured in this display.
So what happens is, from there, the Herojans realize that this whole holodeck World War II thing is getting way out of control.
It may have gotten a little real little quick.
Once, like, the four walls of, like, those decks are blown out, the commandant's like, Harry, why don't you try and turn this off so we can get it back under wraps? And Harry's like, well, everything got messed up when the bomb went off. I can't do nothing.
I can't turn it off.
I can't turn it off. Just like Harry Kim's always like, I can't do this. I can't do that.
His response was, well, I can't just shut it off, but I can just overload everything. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We need
the technology intact.
We're not overloading anything. I just want you to click the off button. The button that says off.
Alt, control, delete.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
escape. It's not working.
Meanwhile, Janeway and 7-9 come back to the little cafe, and they just they're like, well, we saw this crazy thing, and we think it's some underground bunker. And the Americans are there in the cafe with them.
Mind
as well.
You, if you forgot, the only people that know who they are is Seven and
Janeway.
Everybody else is still under the influence of the hologram.
So Janeway plays along and says, yes, it's got this really advanced weaponry, and you just can't just bomb it. We're going to have to infiltrate it. And because I saw bombs there could blow everything up in this whole valley.
And she leaves Seven with Tuvok, and Tuvok's like, well, you got to kill her. And she's like,
I cannot wait to put a bullet in her head.
You will not put a bullet in that bitch. That's what Janeway's like.
I'm
you will
bust
not put a bullet
in
her
ass if she even so much as blinks the wrong way.
Right. So Chakotay and Janeway make their way
to see Neelix, the Klingon.
Yes. They say, there's some unusual. What is not unusual? What did she say?
There's some eccentric people.
Don't be alarmed. In the caves below the city.
They won't look human. Just go with it.
So Neelix is obviously a Klingon warrior, and they're drinking before.
I love how he's like half Talaxian and half Klingon, yeah, and not just like full Klingon.
I'm glad that they did that.
It's really funny how he looks.
And you know, you get the scene where
like
you know
drinking.
Yeah, Neelix is obviously full Klingon, and he's you know kind of showing his show of force as a great warrior. And then when Janeway and Chakotay show up. They're like, who are you? And it's like, well, you know, we want to help you. We've got weapons for your war.
We're from a house long, far away.
Motog! I've never heard of Motog!
And
he did not see that coming.
And then Janeway just accessed some computer.
In a rock.
Like, how did she even know that was there? It's so weird.
Well, she was knocking on the rocks to see if they were hollow. Because a holographic rock would be hollow.
Sure.
Well, there's a console behind it.
And under some moss is some...
Because you definitely can't just say computer
Arch. It's like the Moriarty episode.
Yeah.
This episode has another Moriarty thing that I'll get to at the end.
And then...
oh, wait, no. The protocols were all screwed up, so maybe Arch wouldn't work.
Yeah, and so she brings about the doctor... And, you know, basically they kind of get their plan together. He says that the emitters that are in all the crew members are in the lab and from sick bay, and they have to get, you know, shut it down there. So Janeway's going to go there, but if it doesn't work, they're going to just blow the whole damn thing up. And they leave the doctor there.
To guard over Neelix.
To guard over, yeah.
Because that's who I would choose. Out of everybody... I would choose the doctor to guard Neelix.
So the doctor stays there, and then Janeway and Chakotay go further, and Chakotay makes a bomb out of an old clock and some dynamite.
And, no, it's the bomb that they were going to use to blow up the radio tower.
Yeah, but it's just like you said, it's a explosive from
a hologram.
And I wonder how much would like World War II. Ammunition affect decks on
How much would dynamite affect like a tritanium and Durasteel and all these other fancy metals?
Well, apparently, we're not all that advanced in the year 2325 or whatever.
Well, and then they have a conflict with one of the Herojans that are in the sick bay, and
23
seconds. Oh, yeah, because like some guy's like got internal bleeding, and the doctor, one of the Hirogen comes in with like some minor burns to his face, and the Hirogen doctor's like, treat him.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not the rules of triage. Your rule's not mine. Turns off the doctor.
Right. And from there, they basically, she tries to shut the whole thing down. Obviously, it has some effect, and they end up blowing it up anyways, correct?
Well, yeah. They blow up what she does, she gets interrupted.
Yeah, by the guy who comes back in.
Yeah. So what she does is she locks him out of the system, and then they're like,
blow it up.
Oh, well, I didn't succeed. Let's just blow up most of sickbay real quick.
Right. And sickbay goes, and everyone kind of wakes up out of their holodeck stupor or whatever.
It was a big enough explosion that it blew the doors off of sickbay. So I would assume that apparently...
That's a good explosion.
Yeah, I would assume that we're really not all that... advanced than our starships. They're actually just made out of cardboard and paper mache.
No, the boards are plywood.
Oh, okay.
Plywood.
Well, so everyone starts kind of waking up like, what are we doing here? Tom Paris realizes where they are because he's been in...
It's like, oh, yeah, this is a...
This is mine one. I bought this with my credits.
This is my Call of Duty hologram that I rented and never gave back.
You skipped over... Never mind. There's a line that I'm going to get to that you skipped over.
What is it?
No, don't worry about it. Finish your recap. We've been recapping for 20 minutes.
Well, I know. It's a lot. It's two episodes. There's a lot to go over.
Well, we could have just done episode one and then left everybody on a cliffhanger.
That would be kind of shitty, wouldn't it?
We don't do that here.
Come back next time for maybe episode two.
Then we don't cover it.
We just talk about news.
Because we've already got next week planned.
Yeah. So from there...
Come back 2 months from now.
So from there, after everyone wakes up and they realize they got to kind of work their way through it. Everyone in the cafe had been captured by the Nazis just before, and
Janeway's gotten captured, or she goes and sees the commandant.
Yes,
Señor Commandant,
and that doesn't work out too well. She wants to help them because she realizes that he seems to be like
she wants to help them help them. Help him help them.
The Hirogens...
Help them leave her alone.
Have been hunting so much that they're so stretched thin that they're kind of on the verge of, like, collapse, civilization collapse.
Yeah, like, they can't progress as a civilization anymore.
And he saw the benefits of the holodeck, that if they could just hunt within a hologram or holodeck, then they could go and kind of focus their energies on other things, but get the hunt thing kind of out of their blood. So, and she says, well, I'll give you all the specifications to make a holodeck, and you just got to just pack it up and leave.
And he's like, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, it'll work. So he tells them all to stand down, and then the human Nazi's all giving him this big speech about how we're better.
Not the human Nazi. The holographic Nazi.
The human holographic Nazi.
Convinced. It's important that you point out that it is a hologram.
Well, holograms can be convincing sometimes.
Convinced.
That the commandant's wrong, so he goes and shoots the commandant and tries to shoot Janeway. Yes,
a hologram can be real, as we have seen in a other Voyager episode, but the fact is, he knew that this was a hologram. He knew that this hologram had a story that was essentially bullet pointed, like he's got bullet points.
And literally, before he gets the speech given to him, he's like, the holograms are annoying me.
Yeah, like he's annoyed with the hologram, but then he lets the hologram convince him.
I really thought he was going to shoot him.
I thought he was too.
I hope he did. Like, I just got to the point where I was just like, sick of this. Boom, done. Like,
but he does take his point, and he's like, you know,
his own point, because really all the hologram is just...
The hologram's talking
out what he said.
Yeah,
earlier.
Just talking Nazi propaganda.
It's his conscience.
Yeah.
Actually, and he's like,
it's what the commandant said, because he meets the commandant, and that's what he's spewing back.
Yeah.
Is the, don't ever underestimate your prey or whatever.
Well, and the Nazi guy is basically like, we are who we are, we cannot... be anybody else, and you know, basically saying that because they're German and Nazis, they
are better.
They're better than everybody. And the Hirogen second in command is kind of like, yeah, we are. What? Why are we standing down to these people? And that's when he decides he's going to.
Wait a minute.
So then he decides to go to his commander, commandant, and track him down, and he shoots him. And he, Janeway's like, well, aren't you going to shoot me now? And he's like, no, I'm going to chase you.
Yeah, it's so it's ridiculous. More, like, bang, more. Bang, bang. Okay, well, you are going to run. It's like,
oh. Janeway, you should have, like, held your ground.
Right? I watched that scene four times, and I'm like, she should have just, what was he going to do? Like,
would Erin Gray have held her ground if she was
completely just defy him what he wants, and it's the hunt. What does a Hirogen do at that point if you're just like, no, I'm not gonna run? He's like,
then but he'll soak in a corner.
But that's not what
I imagine he would have probably killed her or tortured her.
Something. Like, I don't know, it just seems more ridiculous.
She runs
and then she gets she outruns him to a point where she gets cornered, but then she uses a holodeck.
Like where the holograms aren't finished yet?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I think it just...
Oh, because it was a damage from an damaged. Explosion. Yeah.
She notices that there's a holographic German soldier without any legs because the hologram doesn't go past a certain point.
Right.
So she pulls him out.
And then
he's running with the gun.
She's like,
don't kill me!
Don't kill me! And then when she gets in there, he realizes he doesn't, you know, have the gun, and then
she did not see that coming.
Oh no. And she jumps him and she gets the better on him, and then she's like, now you run, you know. So it's kind of like a Tom and Jerry kind of
something
thing.
Happens, he just falls out the hole.
She chases him in the beginning.
She says, stop this fighting, we can end this. He says no, and then he lunges towards her and she hits him with the butt of the gun, and he goes,
yeah, it falls down.
He falls like six decks down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways.
And screams all the way down.
And from there, basically, they realize that Kim had already started the process of shutting the whole thing down and
overloading the holodeck.
Yeah, exactly. And they... everything, you know, shuts down, and you kind of just get this like weird wrap up ending.
Yeah, just all of a sudden, they're talking, and
it'd been longer than just it didn't happen right then. It was like they were fighting for a long time too on the ship, and that,
so the Klingons came through and all this other stuff.
Yeah, no, but they've been even after the holodeck went down. They were like, we've been still fighting, like, and we just came to this truce, and they gave her, and then she gives them the holodeck, like the plans for
which
the
at that point, which, who is she giving it to?
I guess the next in line to be Alpha.
I guess.
I just think it's weird because like they're shot like because the Hirogen were always supposed to be like 8-9 foot tall people, but on the holodeck and all the times you see them, they're like regular sized.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they're shot like they look like they're super tall again. And my favorite part of the shot, and this ties into our Moriarty two-parter episode, she hands them the exact same prop. Oh. That they store Moriarty in. Right. And so I really am so upset that I didn't get to see the episode where they wake up Moriarty and Moriarty's got to deal with the Hirogen. That would be awesome.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would pay money to see this.
Well, so that's basically it in a nutshell. So
so let's test your knowledge real quick.
Well, wait a second.
I got it. Go.
What's this, your goddamn show, Adam?
Yes, I've changed it. It's now mine. We talked about a game show earlier. I'm creating it now.
So, Adam, you're a guest, and we would like you just to – what's your takeaways, thoughts about this episode since you've watched it?
This is
it.
Your pick.
This is your pick.
It still maintains spot number one in my Voyager episodes.
Okay.
Out of all episodes. There are glaring flaws with it, and I am not afraid
to admit it. Huge glaring
flaws. I am not afraid to admit it, as you've heard so far.
What do you like about it?
I did some math. It was, if we go by Pearl Harbor, World War II, that starting World War II. I know it didn't, but we're going to start there for U.S. being involved. So 1941 is when Pearl Harbor happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you do some quick math, meaning you type in what star date is this in real life date on Google, this date... 51715.2 is in the year 2374.
Okay.
So it's about 433 year difference between World War II starting and this episode.
Okay.
I love that. I love that we have this super sophisticated
Earthian people as well as aliens involved fighting with not phasers, not photon torpedoes. I love that they're sitting there fighting
with rifles
with
and
20th century
guns,
and grenades and stuff like that. Right. Like, I think that is super cool. As a World War II, I want to be very careful how I phrase this.
Aficionado?
Yeah, I almost said fan for a second. I'm not a fan of World War II. But
oh, man, all the people died. It was so fantabulous. It was great.
Somebody who studied a lot of World War II, and that's what got me into history, watching Star Trek then go back to World War II, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you never saw a phaser in this. And that's, well,
you
saw
the
Hirogen
had a couple guns. They
whatever
went off a
Hirogen
couple times,
thing yeah. that's called. But for the most part, you don't see typical Star Trek in
sure.
this. That's, which yeah, I that's think true. That's, it's cool to see that juxtaposition of we're in the future, but we're not. I think
it's
cool.
It's a fun episode for sure in that light. I mean, holodeck episodes are almost always fun in some way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going
I mean, I some of my most vivid memories of any Star Trek are something happens on a holodeck where Worf gets pushed off the pirate ship and he lands in the water. Like, that's in one of the holodecks. And it's not the whole episode, but it's just that's where it starts. That's mm-hmm. pretty funny. Like, there's just distinct memories that I have of holodeck stuff.
Yeah.
Picard meeting Kirk in the hologram, like, or holodeck. In the holodeck thing.
I don't think that happened.
Oh, wait, that's not a holodeck. That's
that
the
was
Nexus.
Real.
That was
the
Nexus.
Yeah, that's yeah. the Nexus thing.
Dave, close enough. You saw this. What do you think about this episode, or these two episodes?
They're a fun pair of holodeck episodes. You know, they do have kind of holes in them here and there, because holodeck, I mean, you just kind of have to take everything, you know, at its word.
Suspension of disbelief,
with how things work. But they're fun couple episodes. It's fun seeing the period piece, the World War II thing. It was interesting reading the Memory Alpha about it, where they actually had this plan earlier in the run of the show, but they didn't know how to implement it. And then once the Hirogen came about, they're like, yes, we can make the Hirogen be like these aliens who want to do this. So it was kind of interesting reading about the evolution of it.
Some of
it
the
was
best
fun.
Acting, I think, in Voyager. To see Neelix jumping from being a Frenchman to a Klingon to a Talaxian. Back to a Klingon. Like, I mean, that's one example, but
sure,
all the characters
I mean, that was probably the best acting we got from Ethan Phillips in the show, because we got to
all
see
all of the characters maintain their character while also being another character. Like Tuvok.
It was still logical, even though he wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't
and
Tuvok.
They even make jokes good. About it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're not taking it. They took a step back and said, yeah, we're going to poke a little fun at ourselves here too, in the process, which
definitely cool. Fun episodes. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah. Like Adam said before, I would have loved to see the build up, how this happened. This is, I thought, like, you just came in and they're just taking over. Like, why not? If we're going to do two episodes, let's stretch this into three. Let's have the Hirogens take Voyager, do the whole thing through, you know, the storyline, and then maybe do the wrap up a little more than just like up. And then we just finished it. And then, you know, we've been fighting for a couple weeks, and now
this could have been an arc.
Yeah.
This could have been a mini arc.
Could have been like a 4 or 5 episode thing. Really?
Yeah.
Cause I mean,
well, maybe not 4 or 5 episodes.
That'd get like a little drawn out.
I was going to say, I think four. People would have been annoyed by that.
I think you could stretch it to 3. Easily stretch it to 3. How they, like, maybe they had a sneak attack and, you know, they didn't expect 4 ships and they, you know, disabled them really quickly. I just felt like you just, I mean,
3 ships, okay. 4 ships, whoa, that's too much.
Well,
but
you know.
It's also kind of laughable because, I mean, like, the Voyager can take on, like, a dozen Borg cubes.
Yeah.
But, like, they can't take, like, 4 Hirogen ships. And I'm like,
well, it's all according how it happens, too. You
that's
know.
True.
Really, what happened is the one came, but then another one came, but then another one came, and then another one came. Whereas Borg, it's just, they're all there.
Yeah.
Everybody's at the party at that point.
And the other side of it is, you know, the damage to the ship at the end is just like, how, I mean, they're always talking like, we don't have enough materials, we don't have this, we don't have that. It's like, how are you going to rebuild your ship? And they just kind of fly away. I'm like, I'm sure that's, I'm surprised that it wasn't like smoking and kind of like puttering and just like kind of drifting off into space.
Can we get a jump? Can you jump us before like, before you leave for all you guys?
Hey, remember all that damage you caused? How about you give us some
actually, supplies? Yeah, Aaron, that's a really good point because, I mean, they're always, the entire series, they're like, well, we can't use our replicators because... reasons.
I mean, they implement,
and then like they like the Herodron like help replicate more of these mental probes, replicate more holodeck emitters for the entire ship,
right?
And it's just like I'm like,
I
what?
Mean, in season one, they implement replicator rations, and it's an entire plot line throughout every single episode.
Every single one. I mean, like, and that's why they have Neelix making food out of like shit that he finds on planets, and it's like, well, if you cook shit this way, they'll take a little bit less like shit.
And
if you throw some spices, it doesn't taste totally like shit.
The minute Neelix starts doing that, it's like, oh, well, Neelix is now cooking our food, so now we can replicate whatever we want. It's like, that's not how it works.
So, yeah, so the damage to the ship is, I mean, that could be a whole other episode of them just going and trying to fix the ship after that. I mean, just, it's so ridiculous
I think you see Voyager land on a planet maybe
a couple
twice?
Times.
Is it twice or is it just the once?
I remember.
I think it's more than once because that was like Voyager's gimmick.
Nightingale,
Voyager's,
we saw that.
Voyager's the gimmick was they could land.
Yes,
because there was the one they landed. What's her face? Amelia Earhart. They landed that episode.
Yep.
It was a very orange planet is the one that I'm remembering, and I can't remember the episode.
And that's the episode they got like they met the liquid people, and then the liquid people actually formed another Voyager ship, and somehow that Voyager ship flies back to that planet, and like the episode makes no sense because like they think they're the Voyager the whole time, and like they fly backwards because they're going home because they think they're the real crew somehow, and they're going back to Earth, but Voyager has been having its own adventures, so like they fly back to that planet and then they run into Voyager. What has Voyager been doing so that they've been the real Voyager is still like dinking around that planet? Like for a whole season, it just blew my mind. I was like, "What are you doing?"
There's a time paradox there.
Well, yeah. So I mean, there's just the resources alone is ridiculous. It's just so silly. So it's like there should have been a huge fallout after this. Like,
I think they should have doubled down. They should have like you know never used replicators for the rest of the season to try to figure out.
No more baths, people. No more showers.
They use sound for showers, so that's fine.
No, we don't even have room for that anymore.
We can't even turn up the speakers to
clean. The sonic pipes were damaged.
Everyone's going to be dirty. You're going to have a stinky ass. Sorry. You know, we can't close.
See, I've heard this argument before because my father has told me your argument. It doesn't bother me as much.
What? The stinky ass?
No, not the stinky ass.
That's what I was thinking. But
the ship being in disarray, it would have been cool. Yes, I would have. That would have changed the tone of the series. But at the end of the day, this is still a Star Trek series, and I get that all of the other Star Treks have all the other starships have the ability to go back to Earth space dock or
any space station in Federation to get fixed.
Totally, that argument is valid. But to me, this just—it's the next episode. It doesn't even talk about the Herodrons in this. Like it's you're. Got to remember that these episodes don't necessarily take place. Like, well, this Herodron thing happened, and then 4 days later, we came in contact with the Borg. Like, it doesn't necessarily happen like that. So,
yeah.
Remember, a season is not a year.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, and this one it is.
And all the shows it is.
Well,
because there's an episode where they're christening their slipstream drive, and she says, like, how many years it's been? Because I thought there was, like, a gap.
I thought there was, too.
I thought there was a gap in Voyager because Naomi Wildman grows up so fast. So I thought there was a couple-year gap. She gives, like, an exact date, and I was like, I looked at what season it was and when it was, and it's, like, it's how many each year was a season. So it's like, oh, my gosh, really? How was Naomi Wildman, like, 11 when she's, like, 3 max? It's like, what's going on?
I mean, still to that point, a year, even going off of our calendar, is 365 days.
it would stand to reason that within that 365 days, you have the ability to replicate
X amount of times.
X amount of stuff to make sure you don't have to have 2.5 nacelles on your ship to get home and stuff.
I mean, gathering resources and stuff like that, I could see them trying to use that and, like, convert that into, I mean, however they would do it.
I think there are episodes where they try to
gather resources. Yeah. They, like, suck in, like, gas from a nebula and do stuff like that.
To energize the core and...
But
there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, there's stuff they do during it. And they do... You see them constantly trading with other civilizations to get
technology,
new tech, or get materials. So I mean, it's like, but it's just like, I'm just saying, it would have been a huge setback, you know, like they would have to, like,
no, I agree with
replenish
you. I agree. I just this. To me, that doesn't,
well,
you
the
still
thing,
have to look at this as a, the overarching goal is to get back home, but in all reality, these are standalone episodes for the most part,
right?
But the thing is, like, in Year of Hell, like, they had like so many different versions of Voyager in different states of disrepair. They could have just ripped different states of disrepair from Year of Hell and used one for each season. Like, see the ship just slowly degrade without any star bases.
The only other thing is that, going along with what Pete's saying, Adam, sorry.
I hate you.
But no, because you mentioned your dad mentioned my argument. My logic was going.
I still hate you. You can try and explain it away all you want.
All right, Pete, shut up. So, but anyways, no, going along with that, I could see the one thing is that it's like if you had a 3D printer and you had like the specs for Voyager are never going to change.
No.
So if you know that door is always this size and, you know, this width and this depth, you always know that you, whenever you replicate that door, it has to be the same or it won't fit. So it does stand to logic that it wouldn't be totally wonky looking.
No, and
you know, like, if you're going to replicate your parts.
Sick Bay's doors got blown off in the explosion. They didn't get disintegrated, so we still have pieces, parts.
It would be hilarious if, like, Blanis Torres had a hammer. She's trying to hammer it straight.
Well,
like,
these doors
are all bent
up.
That would
be funny. But, like, my point is, you have pieces, parts, so you still have material that you could then...
Yeah, you would disintegrate it
back
and then
the
make a new one. Yeah.
But, so, you know... But, you know, also, they're in a different quadrant, and maybe the materials aren't exactly the same as the materials that you have in the Alpha Quadrant, so maybe the outer plates in the ship look different, the inner plates start looking different because of the materials are different.
Yeah, but elements are elements. They don't change. You go down, how many elements, 181 elements? I can't remember, but I'm probably wrong on that. But, I mean, there are certain elements, there's only so many elements, so if you boil down a piece of metal down to its base elements, it's always going to be the same.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Yeah, with just different quantities. So it just, that is not a I don't want to say series breaker, but it's nothing that I would sit there and be like, well, this is a major flaw with the series.
Well, that's, so I guess my thought is that's true. Like what you're saying, like Voyager probably would look pretty much the same. But it's more believable by the end of the last, you know, end of the series that it does not quite look the same. Like, it's maybe not another nacelle, but maybe there's some, you know, like, you see, like, lots of weird patchwork on it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the external patchwork would look different because of different metals, different materials, different stuff that's available. Maybe they don't have
ways to smelt titanium. I think what would have been really cool, and I think they missed an opportunity to satisfy all of us. They could have absolutely made this ship look ratty as all hell.
Yeah.
And then they meet Q, who not only goes over and forwards them, which...
He offers, and Janeway's like, no, I'm not going with legs wide open for you.
I don't want to go back to Earth, but yeah, sure, give us a little bit of a speed boost. That could have also entailed the, all right, look, give us the speed boost and can you, like, you know, do a little... clean up here. Can you get
fix the ship?
Yeah. Can you make us? Can you make us whole again?
Can I put Kim inside the deck plating? Just
that,
his face talking to you.
That third nacelle is really just bothering me. It's not symmetrically put.
Harry was drunk.
But the
that
thing
night.
Is also they're getting new technology from different races along the way too. It'd be cool to see like different little knickknacks sticking off the ship, you know, as it changed.
Wind
the
chimes,
yeah, like wind chimes and
hanging off and themselves.
You just look out the like you're sitting in the mess hall, you're looking out the windows like, ah, nobody took the wind chimes in.
But they don't make any noise because there's no noise of space.
Well, there isn't.
They just look nice hanging from that nacelle. I mean, like it's like, oh, that's a good. I got a good one. No, the wind chime.
For the Christmas episode, they just replicate Garland and just decorate the whole ship in Christmas lights.
Oh, and they never took it down. It's like that house you drive by that's always got the Christmas lights
like
up, and
the
they never
take
it.
Paper on the end of your shoe when you walk out the bathroom. There's just one piece of garland flapping and
that
flapping
actually
in
be
space
really.
Or when
funny.
They get shot, like part of the garland flies. It's like, oh shit, we didn't take that down.
I mean, you just watch it floating through the green.
We've all like driven by those houses, and like it's like July, and they still have the Christmas
you still
lights
got
up.
Santa Claus up, on
and
your
you're
roof.
Just like, dude, come on, you've had like 6 months.
At it's, some point, man, I get it. It sucks to put it back up, but take it down.
Take it down. It's time to take it down.
But, let it go.
So if you're not gonna put it up, I mean, if you're gonna put it up, better be sure to take it down.
So here's the question of how closely you two paid attention to to the show.
Okay.
All right. I'm not gonna tell you which part this is in.
Okay.
But you have to come up with the second answer.
Second answer, not the first answer.
I'm sorry, the answer to the question.
Okay.
All right? If you were an American, if you are an American, and Betty Grable walked around
legs.
That corner.
Legs.
Ooh,
yeah, come on.
I was the only one that I thought
Tom Paris is leg man.
She got great gams.
Yeah.
Nice gams.
Or is that tits?
Nah, I don't know.
No,
I think those
gams
are melons.
Aren't gams like this area?
Yeah.
Oh,
which
legs? Oh.
I'm pointing to upper quad area.
He's pointing to his crotch, guys.
Yes.
It's...
By the way, that was all the notes I had. That was it. The math.
He's like, Paris Legman.
The math from earlier and that.
So usually, like, people pick out, like, you know, most guys have, like, a favorite part. You know, some are butts.
I see where you're going with this.
Some are breasts. Obviously, Paris is a leg man. Some people are face men. They need to have a nice face. That's very important.
I mean,
so,
faces are nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's got their own thing, you know. I'm not going to ask what everyone's
I bet he loved watching gymnastics if he's into legs. Because those girls have legs. Like, that's about all they have.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I like watching gymnastics, but I'm just so fascinated at how big their legs are compared to the rest of their body.
Yeah. I find if I like to laugh at... This is going to sound really mean. I'm sorry if you're a male and you do gymnastics for what I'm about to say. But I always like to laugh at like when the guys are doing gymnastics that you see that it's literally their upper body is just a V. It looks like the Jetsons, like old cartoon stuff. Yeah. It's just a V and then legs and that's it. Yeah. Like it's to me, that's hilarious. That's where their upper body. It's all upper body for those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and let's face it. I mean, if you especially in the Olympics, these people are peak physical condition.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
No, I can totally be him. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Me and you both.
Yeah.
Just like us.
We don't want to admit it, but we're actually on the Olympic gymnastics team, me and Aaron.
We are, so. Yeah. It's going to be pretty impressive.
I'm on the Olympic bowling team.
We tried to get him to go over with us, but...
You know, it's just...
Nah, it's like throwing them heavy balls at them pants. Watching them fall over gives me pleasure like no other.
I've got big balls.
And I cannot lie.
He's got big balls. So anyways... But this whole episode just seems like just silly. Like that,
I just the Hirogen. Yeah, I think I said where you go like the where the Hirogen are just kind of like why would they even consider this?
Yeah, like you really got to know. I don't feel like they've ever been introduced to the Voyager ship enough to realize what a holodeck is.
It'd be funny if they were killing all the crew members and they walk in and they're like, what the hell is this?
But
Tom Paris was having sex on the beach, and I was like, how'd they get a beach in this place?
But I imagine, if I'm not mistaken, Voyager does trade holographic emitters to another race. So I guess there's your way to bring the plot back in, is it the Hirogen?
But is that what you were going with? Like, what you're going
to
say?
Well, there's a lot of things to say. I mean, first of all, Hirogen, I mean, if they're just a hunter race, like, it's like the Klingons. Like, who's doing the scientific studies and make the warp drives? And I mean, or do they just
who builds the ships?
Or is it just that they just kill and kill and kill and they just take, like, pirates, whatever they have? And they, on a base level, they understand.
But I also think at some point they have no choice. They started out on a home world.
Right.
Then they essentially hunted that world to extinction.
Sure.
You have two choices. Die, like the rest of your world.
Or take off and start finding more.
Yeah, and so somebody at some point has to go over
and
say...
But at some point, you can't go from, like, stones and... You know, you can't go from knives and swords to, like, space in, like, a week.
You've got to be working on that for a while. First contact situation where that was the worst...
They meet the Kazons. They take the Kazon ship, and then they move on to the next.
If I'm not mistaken, they look very similar. There are two. The Hirogen ship looks very similar to another.
Like
Voyager
I feel like the Hirogen ship sort of looked like the ship from Dark Matter a little bit. Like the because it's got those like that weird like bulky middle section, like those pod, like a couple pods on the side where their engines are.
But yeah, I mean, like the commandant's idea is very interesting. I liked where he was going, but of course, you know, he got shot. So it, you know, who knows if that ever went forward from there. But
I think the Hirogen storyline pretty much dies out after the end of this.
No, I think there's a follow up episode to this where like the Hirogen built. I want to say they built like a space station with giant holograms.
And then they
holograms become sentient, and then they start freaking out. And then like Doctor goes and meets them, and they like steal a ship.
Yes, and I remember.
But I'm not sure if the Hirogen are in it, but I want to say they are because I think that's how it got from A to B.
They contact Voyager about this problem, and then I feel like the Doctor. They beam the Doctor over or whatever.
Yeah, and then Doctor runs away. But yeah, I do have an issue with the Hirogen like being like that way because the race doesn't make any sense. Like they seem to have no moral compass. It's like they don't even the Commandant is like, oh, don't underestimate this prey. But then when Janeway was trying to talk to him, and he's just like, you're prey. Like they just have this like base instinct that no matter what other race they meet, no matter how intelligent they may seem. That's just everything is just like a dumb animal to them, which is like moral compass.
At some point, all right, this might get a little topical to real life today, but at some point you have to be able to go over and say either you're better than us or you're not just prey anymore. Like if you're at the point of going over and flying around space-time and everything else, and you have the capability to take down a Federation ship with what I can only assume is more advanced sensors than the Hirogens, who don't necessarily put everything into scientific discovery based on what we know about their race. At some point, you have to be willing to go over and say, you're not just prey. Like, we should be okay with each other. Like, you have to coexist with people.
So you're saying that if they see someone as an equal. But it might be also, like, the Hirogen might have, like, sort of, like, you know how, you like, you have your cat, and your cat still has these base instincts to hunt. So maybe your cat's never seen a mouse or a bird, like, in the flesh, but they will chase after things and stuff like that, so they just can't stop themselves. And let's face it, after you die, and if you're just by yourself in your apartment, your cat will eat you. You know? It's like they're just an animal. Like they may love you now, but
it's like you hear things about animals in zoos and stuff like that. Like they can do all these cool tricks, but they're still wild animals.
Right. Sooner or later, they're going to snap at one point. That's why just be careful.
But the thing is that Hirogen are they're sentient creatures, and they're interacting with other sentient creatures, and all other sentient creatures
like, that's my point.
To like, them are just base animals,
which is
mind-blowing.
They have language. They have technology. At some point, you just have to be able... Somebody has to have the foresight to just have to be intelligent enough to be like, we should probably stop killing everybody and start, like, you know...
Hey, y'all, let's just stop killing everybody and, like, maybe be friends once in a while.
Yeah, like, can we make some friends? maybe get some of this.
If we kill all the ducks, we can't sell any duck calls.
That's right.
Yeah, like, it just, I don't know, it gets to the point.
Well, that's why I think the Commandant realized that, you know, if you make a holodeck and people can, like, just get out that, you know,
instinct or urge.
Yeah, that urge or instinct, whatever it is, to do.
I wonder if eventually, if you were to continue this, that urge just dies out.
Or you just can mitigate it to a point where you're just like, I hunted today, now I'm just going to go.
But I feel like at that point,
do my job and making
it desensitizes it.
Well, I mean,
like if you're going in and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm feeling the blood urge. I need to go and kill me a human.
Sure.
At some point, you're going to be like, hey, you want to. It's going to turn into going to the movies for us. Hey, you guys want to go hunt today? No? Oh, all right. Well, maybe some other time.
My thing is going to turn more into like pornography. It's pornography for them. So it's like
that's a better comparison.
We have a strong urge, especially males, to procreate. Our testosterone wants us to do that. So you see pornography. You get your rocks off.
This is the birds and the bees conversation.
Yeah, you get your rocks. This is how I explain it to my children. You get your rocks off. And then, you know, you can think clearly for the rest of the day, you know? So, I mean, it's like, but that's, I mean, are they the same, essentially the same thing? You know, are they like, you know,
that's probably a hell of a road.
I really wish that was the conversation me and my father had. You just get your rocks off and then you're clear headed for the rest of the day.
It'd be funny. He's like, Adam, you want to, like, I got to talk to you about the birds. Here's the killing game, Voyager. Watch this. And then
pay attention to the ending. It's really important.
And then we'll talk a little bit later. So they get the holograms.
I think you just figured out the secret.
Yeah.
When it gets signed to that time, you just, you know.
You just get your rocks off and then you can find after that. Just you know, just remember, you know.
I am sorry. I am sorry that I suggested these episodes, and this is what has come from it. We're now having the birds and the bees conversation.
Well, we talked about Nazis. We could have gone further down the Nazi trail.
Oh, we could have.
We did not. But
we've got an Enterprise episode where we get other space Nazis, so we can go down that rabbit hole.
Oh yeah, and then we have TOS.
That's true. Yeah, we've got many a time to
bring up the Nazi stuff. But that's my take. Away from the Herogians.
Adam doesn't listen to enough Synthaholics to know what he's getting into when he comes on.
And we didn't even talk about butt stuff yet, Adam.
Not yet, no.
Remember the part about, like, if I don't like it within the first hour, I'm turning it off to do other content?
No.
That's a horrible thing to say.
It's very bad to say.
I brought you beer.
You did bring us beer.
Yes. Thank you.
That makes up for a little bit.
I also offered you booze and you turned me down, like real booze.
Yeah, because I have to drive home tonight.
That's why I offered you the shot at the beginning.
Fair enough.
Just sleep in the parking lot. I do it all the time.
It's fine. Aaron's got a big van. You can sleep together. It'll be fine.
Then there goes the butt stuff.
I got an Acadia, man. My uncle's out of town in Scotland. I got his Acadia. It's fantastic.
Okay.
My point is, it's big. I don't need this cuddle with you tonight, Aaron. I can sleep in.
Well, if it's big, then you're bragging. So then we do have to cuddle because it's big.
I'll cuddle. I don't care. You want to cuddle? I'll cuddle.
All right. We know what we're
doing. We can talk about this later.
Put your pants back on, guys.
But it's so big.
It's throbbing, but it won't fit in my pants anymore.
Anything else we want to say about the killing game?
It's in my pants. Wait.
Oof. It's killing you.
That's not a good place for it.
No, it's not. But I think that's a lot of killing games, a lot of news.
Yeah,
and
that small, huh?
Oof. It's like an anaconda.
I like how I totally had that 3 seconds of silence where I was just like, is anybody gonna break it? And it's like, I'll get in here.
So anyways.
I think we're good. We've had a lot of news and a lot of Nazi jokes and a lot of interrupting Aaron. Not enough Nazi jokes, but you know,
and not enough interrupting Aaron.
Oh, we've had a lot of interrupting Aaron. I think you complimented me on that a whole lot.
Well, you know, he needs a change of pace every once in a while.
Yeah,
like every 3 seconds.
Back to the episode,
or back to things that are, you know, getting off of things that aren't Star Trek, like we did at the beginning. So Tell us, where can we find you on social media and what you do with the Geekiverse? Because that's what Siri says whenever I try to go to your place. It's arrived at the Geekiverse.
Right. Well, I was gonna make a whole thing about I don't do anything at the Geekiverse. I do everything at the Geekiverse. But you can find us all over the place. I'm not pulling out the cheat sheet or anything. You can find us at...
Put your pants back on.
Yeah, well, sorry. Facebook.com/TheGeekiverse. You can find us at Twitter.com/The_Geekiverse. Mm. Instagram.com/The_Geekiverse. And, of course, we're really pushing hard our YouTube channel, which is YouTube.com/TheGeekiverse. I don't know if I should say that yet. There's going to be some important stuff coming out. When's this coming out?
It's going to be on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, something is going to happen. By Tuesday, you'll know what it is. But definitely check out Tuesday, and there's going to be some regular... We're revamping our YouTube.
Are you having us back on Tuesday? Is that what's happening?
Cuddling.
If you have an Xbox, maybe.
I do not have an Xbox.
No, well then, no. But you can find me at Adam J. Her on Twitter. I will most likely reply to you at some point. But you should also check out thegeekiverse.com, and that's where everything is.
Cool. All right.
A lot of social media.
Well, thank you for all that. It's great. We love having Josiah and Trevor on, and Pete on in the past.
Nobody likes always... having Trevor on.
Oh, well, Trevor was great.
He was good.
I'm surprised he didn't like break your couch or anything.
Trevor?
That's an inside joke for Geekiverse fans.
He was just jumping up and down on it, but...
Yeah, you know.
You're just adding to the joke.
Can you just stop jumping on the couch, Trevor?
He does that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So,
that was actually pretty good, Trevor. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. All the other music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Syntholics, you can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. On Twitter, we are Syntholic Duo. I personally am David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Guys at GS Davis Art.
And hey, if you could be so kind, if you could go to the Patreon page at patreon.com/Syntholics and maybe throw us a buck. Be wonderful to support the show. Just help us keep the lights on, keep things moving on our side. Buck a month, not much to ask for.
It's hard being content creators, folks.
Oh yeah,
we need, especially when you're starting out.
A buck a month is less. It's nothing. I mean, it's nothing. Like a cup of coffee, less than a hamburger.
$12 a year, folks. Come on.
So if you could do that, it would be wonderfully appreciative of me and Dave. And if you can't do that, we totally understand. Another way to support the show is definitely go onto iTunes. If you could log in there and give us a rating and review, 5 stars preferably, and say something nice about us. We really appreciate that. That helps promote the show through not just iTunes, but all the other apps that are out there for podcasts.
Google Play, iHeartRadio. Stitcher, list goes on and on.
Also, if you do have any friends that are looking for a podcast to listen to, definitely let them know that, hey, you know, Syntholics is a great show to listen to.
And we don't always have butt stuff.
Not all the time. But also...
Sometimes we have Nazi stuff.
Nazi stuff, too. Whatever. Talk about pornography.
And get your rocks off.
And the birds and the bees off.
Now you know how to break it to your kids.
We make life simple for you guys.
We do. So just let them know all those things are available here at Syntholics. And we appreciate it. Word of mouth is a wonderful way to promote the show. So, for sure.
Yes. Thank you also. Thank you, Adam, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
No problem.
It was a fun conversation. Lots of rabbit holes and lots of
many
side
rabbit
tangents.
Holes. Many rabbit holes.
I'm good at that.
That's how it goes. And I do it too. So Aaron just like pulling his hair and trying to make us get back on track. It's awesome.
We made him drink.
we do that anyway. That's our staple here.
Get me drunk.
Very 6-shot Long Island iced tea for the win. And some beer.
You didn't have one. I'm kind of upset.
I know. Well, that was a lot of drink. He gave me a pretty big Long Island iced tea. I do have to drive.
There's still 3 more, man.
Yeah, I'll drink them. My roadies.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the hell of roadies. Woo!
Don't drink and drive.
No, don't. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
And I don't either.
We don't authorize that or sanction it or approve of that in any way, shape, or form. Just when you're sitting around with your buddies talking Star Trek, have some drinks is a lot of fun. Agreed. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Adam, for joining us. Thank you, Aaron, for being the most amazing host anyone could ask for. And live long and prosper, one and all.
Later.
Bye.
See ya. When the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Was that like the longest podcast we've ever done?
I don't know. What are we at?
It's got to be 2 hours.
It's close to 2 hours.
We've done longer than 2 hours.
Have we?
Yeah. We're at 2 hours and 3 minutes.
I really...
Your episode with Guy was 3.5 hours.
That was crazy. Over a 20-minute...
Animated series episode. Like, seriously.
It was the short...
I don't feel bad now.
But like half of that was news, though.
There was a ton of
news. That, it was like 45 minutes at least of news, I think.
And when you get three people talking about news, it turns into just...
I was also sitting back, not on the microphone.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to see how it sounds, everybody.
Penis.
Penis.
I'm just... Jesus Christ.
Swinging wings!